I'm actually overjoyed that we have more people on this side of the church this morning than over here. Where did all your family go? The baby can take care of himself. Grandma here. When I was a young boy, and I was studying my lessons in catechism class, which was taught by some very Catholic nuns, one of the questions that all the children were asked were, why did God create me? Well, the answer at that time, and actually still applies quite a bit today, was to know, love, and serve God. And I don't see that that's changed a whole lot, amazingly enough. But the point to evaluate in each one of us is that many, many professing Christians say, I love Christ, but they do not serve Christ. And so I have to ask myself, do I serve Christ? Do you? We are to love and serve God in everything that we do. Not just when you're sitting in a congregation on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or whenever you go. Everything that we do, eating, drinking, working, playing. And if along the way we succeed in anything, God gets the glory. Because it's not about us. I want to read a little something that I found that Jim Elliot said. How many know who? Ah, you know Jim Elliot? Ah, yeah, he was a missionary that was actually killed by the people he went to mission to. He went out for the wrestling team when he was at Wheaton College. He won the national championship in his weight class. And this is what he wrote home to his parents. Dear Mom and Dad, you will probably hear of certain honors that I have received recently in wrestling, winning the national AAU championship. But, he says, I want you to know it wasn't for that purpose that I went out for wrestling. My purpose was to develop a stronger, more coordinated body that I might offer to God for Him to use whatever way He seems fit. Wow. What do we do? And we do it for me. How much do we not offer to God? And there's so much. If you're fixing a car, make believe it's God's car. You're fixing God's car. If you're building houses, that's God's house. If you're just plowing the field, think about planting seeds for Christ. We're going to really look into some things here that Christians are supposed to do, that say they do, but they don't do. Open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. We're still in chapter 5. It's week number 3, and I haven't got past halfway. We're going to begin with verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 5. And now, remember, the book, the epistle here, Paul is writing to believers here. He's not writing to heathen people. And he says to them, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I'm going to pause. Circumspect. That comes from two Latin words that mean looking around. But the Greek word carries the idea of precision and accuracy. So if we take those and we stuff them together and shuffle them up, here's what we come up with a meaning in the scripture. See that you walk carefully with exactness. We can't leave the Christian life to chance. I get up in the morning, I eat, I go out, whatever happens, happens, I do what I feel like. No. Christian living is not by chance. We have to make wise decisions. And we have to seek to do the will of God. Now, God has our will, His will, all planned out. We have to seek it. Only, any sailors here? No sailors. You sail? Well, only a fool goes out in the ocean and just sits there in his boat and drifts with the wind and the tide. A wise man marks out his course, sets his sail, guides his rudder until he reaches his destination. What's our destination? Heaven. How do we get there? We don't just sit here like a lump. We have to work out our own salvation. Now, if you want to build a house, and I know there are builders here, you have to draw out a set of plans. That way you know what you're doing. But yet, how many Christians actually plan their day to use their opportunities wisely? Someone once said, and I don't know who, it was unknown to me, when the pilot does not know what port he is going to, no wind is the right wind. Now, Paul, in his verse 16, says, redeeming the time. And so, I titled this morning's Seize the Day. That used to be an expression a while back. You're old enough to remember that. But all time is of high value. And those who just sit around killing time, they destroy one of the best talents that God has given them. Yeah, time is not our own property. My time is not mine. It belongs to God, along with all my other stuff. Because we are servants. Servants don't own things. Servants take care of someone else's stuff. And we have to account to our master for the use of his hours. His hours. Redeeming the time. Let's break it up. Redeeming. In the scripture, that means buying up. People go to yard sales here and they see good deals. Man, that's a good deal. I got to buy that up. I don't need it. But that's such a good deal, that I have to have it. And time in this epistle means opportunity. Now let's put them together. It means buying up for yourself opportunities. And it is the idea in the Greek of a merchant who knows the value of an article when he sees it, and he knows the good use he can put it to, and he buys it up. Now, my grandson Benjamin did that this past week. He saw an article. It wasn't working, but he knew the value of it if he could get it working. And so he scoffed it up at a cheap price. I have a friend. His name is Jeff Bradshaw. He has the uncanny ability with anything that is an automotive to make it run, to make it look good, to know the deal. And so he buys up this old crappy-looking 1966 Chevy Impala. I look at it and I say, it's a piece of junk. He spends $300 on it. 3 weeks later, it's out at the street for $6,500. And he'll get it! But that's his gift from the Lord. He knows the deal. He can do it. I can buy up an old car, and I have to pay somebody to get rid of it. Because it never works out for me. Yeah, you can laugh because you know it's true. But anyway, time. God's time in our life is short. And the duty we have is great. So we have little time and a whole lot to do. And the wants of our fellow men, sometimes people right in here, is numerous. And then the calls of our service seem to be endless. I see that as a chaplain. My wife and I are chaplains for the Illinois Valley, and just when we think we're going to do this and that and the other, and the phone rings, and some dispatcher at the other end says, so-and-so just lost their husband. Can you go talk to them? And that's usually 4 hours. And so the duty we have is great. You can't say no to God. Because that's God on the other end of the phone. How can I get my work done when I'm always being called to go here or go there or help that person or another? And I feel like I'm being pulled in the middle of a tug-of-war rope. And so I have to take my mind and I have to tell it, stop right there, Ken. Don't think that way. Why were you born in the first place? Yes, Lord, I was born to know, to love, and to serve you and you only. And so he says, then don't complain when I tell you to do something. In this world of toil and strife, sorrow, suffering, every single second is valuable. It's valuable for good deeds of mercy. They don't have to be great. They can be little deeds of mercy. They can be picking up a hitchhiker, give them a ride. They can be giving somebody a shirt out of your wardrobe. They could be giving vegetables to somebody that doesn't have any. I mean, they're so small. We cannot redeem the time that's been wasted. Once time has gone by, it's gone forever. Now, sometimes it's happened to me, and you're driving on the road, and you drive by somebody, and the Lord says, you should have picked that person up. Okay, I'll turn around and go back. They're gone. too late. Maybe they didn't know Christ, and a couple of words from your mouth would have saved them. So when that opportunity comes up, seize it right then and there. Because special opportunities are of special value. And Paul urges us to buy up the seasons when he says redeeming the time. And he urges us because of the special opportunities. Because all time is not equal value. Just like every coin in my pocket right here today is not of equal value. Well, neither is time. It might be time with my grandchild is a little bit more valuable at one point or another than time with my son. I don't know why, but God knows why. There are precious moments, and you know them, you feel them when that happens, and you talk about them with your spouse later, say, oh, that was such a beautiful time that I had. And woe to him who through either laziness or selfishness or willful negligence lets those moments slip by because you can't get it back. My wife, Jeff, myself, we all took Swiftwater rescue classes. Maybe some of you others have had some training like that. And the moment, it's within a second, that that rope floats by a drowning man, he has to seize it, or he dies. There's a saying you heard before, strike while the iron is hot. Well, youth, that's anyone younger than me, youth has golden opportunities that belong to no other age in that person's life. And young men then should especially make the most of their season. Now, manhood, which is a little bit older but still younger than me, that has its time of vigor for work. What happened here? That has its vigor for work that's going to be beyond the strength when they're in old age. So seize that moment. The true value of time can only be obtained at a price. It costs. We have to buy it up before we can use it. I know you haven't thought about time that way, but here, you have to spend thoughts sometimes. And considering, how can I best use my time in watching for the right opportunities? Or, we have to sacrifice. Well, I don't like that word. We have to sacrifice our own pleasure in giving up time that I'm tempted to use and spend on myself. Sometimes on amusement, sometimes on just resting. I have to give that up and sacrifice it to the service to God. Because he who only gives to God his leisure moments gives a poor offering. And then the third thing, we have to put forth our greatest energy All the energy that's in your body that you can muster up, you have to give the greatest to make our time more valuable. We would be able to do so much more good if, when we can't find time for serving Christ, we would make the time. Because our time is a talent given to us by God to some good end that He hasn't revealed to us. And it would be misspent, and it would be lost forever if it wasn't used according to His design. I have always regretted when I hesitated to sacrifice my time. Because I sit there at night saying, I should have went over there and helped that. I should have said yes. In Paul's day, they were evil times. Again, that's not much different than today. And so it's extremely important that we understand the will of the Lord. It's why it's important that we have a true knowledge of the Lord's will. So let me word it a different way. Quotation marks. Religion is a mixture. It's a mixture of knowledge as well as feelings. And it's the knowledge that supplies the basis of our feelings. Now, even though Scripture tells us not to lean on our own understanding, it does tell us to love with knowledge and all judgment. And the knowledge is needed to stimulate and to regulate the love. We must know our duties, dangers, and temptations in respect to every single condition of life that we're placed in. And it is the will of our Lord Jesus Christ which supplies us the true standard of action that we must take. Verse 18. Paul says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Another old adage comes to mind. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. Yeah, we all say that when we don't want to do something and say, well, I have to rest now because it's required. Well, human nature itself has the necessity for excitement of some kind. It's a little higher and stronger in some folks than others. Excitement for somebody might be reading a good book. Excitement for someone else is riding the dunes. But everyone does need some form of excitement just to keep them moving. Something to interrupt that quiet and ordinary state of mind with some lively feelings. We all feel it. A high beat musical song just brings my wife to life. You ever see someone dance while they're sitting in a chair? She's good at it. No, really. This is why vacations was invented. was to give you a change of pace from that dull, everyday drone of work. Get up in the morning, go to work, come home, go to bed. Get up in the morning, go to work, come home, go to bed. See, we're not self-contained. And so we need this helping hand from outside our own personalities. So we come now to the question. The question is, where shall we get our required stimulus? And Paul says, don't get it from wine. Now, he's using wine, but it relates to anything. Kind of interesting, Paul takes wine and he connects it to the Spirit. Because the phrase says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So the two are connected. That seems kind of odd, but picture this. Here's a man staggering down the street. He's had too much to drink. And Paul equates that man to being filled with the Spirit. Complete opposite. Actually, they're closer than you might think. What is a person searching for who turns to drinking to excess? What's he seeking? Well, deep down inside is an empty feeling, and he's trying to fill it with something. Fill this void that's in his life. He's reaching out for something, anything that will satisfy. It's a looking. It's a searching to find peace or contentment or relaxation. And it doesn't have to be wine. It can be anything. It can be exercise. Bodily exercise to excess. Every single day, twice a day, I'm in the gym and I'm running and I'm pumping iron and I'm going to look like Schwarzenegger. I know, you don't think that can happen. I don't either. But it could be exercise. It could be intellectual stimulus. Watching informative videos, or reading books, and going and listening to all kinds of lectures on all kinds of nuclear physicist or something. I don't know. It's not my thing. It can be excess of work. Those work hours. We call that a workaholic. But what does a person experience who's filled with the Spirit? Let's look at that end. That person feels peace, relaxation, contentment, feels a fulfillment. He supplying him with all kinds of joy. Wow, pretty even here. One person's looking in all the wrong places for that, and he'll never find it there. And the other person has come to the answer, being filled with the Spirit. And the void deep, deep inside, that spiritual void, which is what everyone has, is being complete now. And it's full. And I'm no longer searching and seeking for something that was satisfied. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied through my relationship with God, in the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye continually, the verb is present tense, continually filled with the Spirit. Now, as I wrote another 10 pages on this verse, I'm going to pause and bring that next week. So let's close with prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for giving us your Spirit to guide and direct our spirit. That all of us that opened that door and you walked in, that you now dwell within us. And our life is not our own. We are your servant. And we call you Master. Strengthen us. Because we know the evil one will not stop. And he will try to convince us to go the other way. And I know I need strength every day. And so I pray for that strength and wisdom for everyone as they battle against the temptations and the trials and the tribulations and the sicknesses and the disappointments and all that stuff that happens to us in this world. But Lord, I pray that our hearts and our minds and our eyes will be just filled with you, giving us this peace and joy, that we know the ending of the story if we choose to go to you. And so be with everyone here as they leave today. And may they seize that opportunity that you put before them, and then you give them the words, the actions, the love that they need to influence that other person to Christ. In Jesus' name we come to you, Lord, Master, God. Amen.